It's good to be here. It's good to preach here. It's always thankful. Thank you for Steve for giving me the opportunity. I might give him a day off. No. Preachers don't get a day off. I don't know if you understand that or not, but anyway, that's the way that is. So glad to see everyone here this morning. If you're visiting, we're certainly thankful for your presence. The inspired Word of God. The inspired Word of God. You know, when you hear about inspiration, you wonder what that really means. And, of course, what it means when you say inspired words, that literally means God breathed the words. Turn to your Bible to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in the first five verses. There are many people who give lip service to this concept of God breathed words, but yet they really don't act or study as though God's words really were inspired, that these words were inspired. I know someone spoke in class this morning about the red letter edition. Well, you see, the red letters are supposed to be only the words of Christ, but if that's the case, you could have the whole Bible be red letter edition, because there is no filler in God's Word, not the Old Testament or the New. There is no filler. The Old Testament and the New Testament must be studied together to understand the whole of it, to understand the panoramic view of the Bible. Many people don't understand this, and so as a result, I know, having been raised up in the church over the years, I know that many congregations would study the book of Acts for at least a year or more, and then turn back and say, well, we need to study Acts again. No, we need to study the whole Bible. We need to consider what is said in every book, in every chapter, in every verse. We need to consider what God is saying, what God is speaking through His Son Jesus to us. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, then, we hear the Apostle Paul, and much of that he writes to the Corinthians is almost, it is a rebuke. A rebuke in many ways, but he wants to call to their mind something here that all Christians everywhere should remember, at least those in the Lord's church, those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus the Lord, and then the Lord Jesus has added them to His church. They need to consider these words very carefully. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It would be in Romans, the first chapter, the 16th verse, that the Apostle Paul will also write to the Christians in Rome, and he would say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. For within is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith. God's righteousness is revealed only through His Word. Through His Word. Many people say, Well, we know that. We understand that. Well, you may say you understand that, but do you really realize how important it is to realize the full implication of the inspired Word of God? The inspired Word. It is the power of God, the power of those words. The Holy Spirit is speaking through these words. People say, oh, are you saying that the Holy Spirit indwells us personally? No, I'm not saying that at all. But if you make your Bible study personal, then you're learning personally from the Holy Spirit who's speaking through the words. The words are powerful because they are the Holy Spirit speaking. And that is the reason why they're powerful. Many times you could read many books, much literature, but you'll never, ever, hopefully ever read anything, or not think, at least think anything, as more powerful than God's Word. So many people have been given over to a great deal of literature and different ones of human wisdom. They're researching as far as their lives are concerned on earth as Christians, and that's a mistake. Because man is not within man to direct his own steps, Jeremiah would write. It's not within man to know any of those things. It's not, you know, God has spoken to us in these last days through His Son. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. That's who He speaks to us through. And Jesus speaks to us through His apostles by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit guided them into how much truth? All truth. John 16, verse 13. He guided them into all the truth. So when you read the Bible, you're not reading just a piece of literature. You're reading something totally different from anything that has ever been penned on the face of this earth. This is so different and so powerful and so wonderful. And yet, people don't see God's Word that way. Perhaps because it's not like a natural mirror, but it reflects to us. James would write in James, the first chapter, and we talked about the fact that God's Word reflects to you who you are, what you are, where you're at, as far as God is concerned. There are many good things that are there. But reading on, though, the Apostle Paul went on to say in the sixth verse, so here in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, however, we speak, being the apostles, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery and the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So people say, well, I really understand. And of course, immediately when someone says they understand, I know they don't understand. For he who thinks he knows is yet known as he ought to know, and he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. You think you know. 1 Corinthians 8, Paul made it very clear to them that wisdom and knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love is to see, is to understand the true meaning of why these words are important. They're important enough that you should read them to your children. They're important enough that you read between husbands and wives. They're important enough that you make sure people at work know that you're a Christian and that you live a Christian life because you follow the words of Jesus. Invite them to study the words of Jesus. Don't invite them into an issue-driven discussion about my church, your church, or anything like that, because it's not my church to begin with. One of the gravest things, and if you're listening carefully, I hope you are. I think you are. But what we need to understand as Christians is that this entire world, the denominational world as we sometimes call it, those in churches of whatever flavor or whatever, wherever they may be, they're filled of, first I'm persuaded with very, very kind people. People who really, I believe they love the Lord. I think they believe they love the Lord, but they don't know how to love the Lord without His Word. And the reason that this Church of Christ, as we attend in this place, is called the Church of Christ, is because this place is the church belonging to Christ. We're part of that universal body throughout the world and time of those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that were baptized into Christ. They were not baptized into the church. They were baptized into Christ. And Christ, Acts 2 and verse 47, said, and he added to those daily those who are being saved. Jesus adds us to his church. We do not add people to this church. You don't add yourself to this church. We couldn't even join this church. You have got to, if you will, obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ, and then will Jesus add you to his church. If you talk with your denominational friends, you'll find out that they know and understand that when someone is a member of their church, it's because they're baptized into their church. You will never ever be baptized into the Church of Christ. It will never happen. Never. Are you listening? That will never happen because we're not baptized into the church. We're baptized into Christ. And Christ adds us to his church. Acts 2 and verse 47. Memorize that in your mind. Understand it clearly. We're in a non-denomination. We're not like any of the churches round about us. Because we don't preach Jesus' church. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And we are the church. We the people. We are the church. And the church doesn't belong to us. It does not run according to us. It's running according to Christ Jesus the Lord. If it's his church. Now, why is that such an important point? Because if you believe in the inspired Word of God, then you understand that that is exactly what the Bible is teaching. That is the uniqueness of this place. That those who are baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins, because they believed Him to be the Son of God, and they certainly have, having believed that they repented of their sins. They turned from the way of life they were living. They turned from the way of the world. They came out of the world to be His disciple, His learner. And in order to do that, they confessed him as the Christ, the Son of God, before many witnesses. And they were buried in water baptism, according to the Scriptures, and raised to walk in newness of life, according to Romans, the 6th chapter, 3rd and 4th, actually 3rd through 12th verses. Don't you see that the point of this is that if you believe those words that I've just spoken from the Scriptures, and you understand that repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, then you understand that that is what Jesus requires of those who would be saved. Jesus died for his church. Died for his church because his church is his bride. His bride belongs to him. His bride does not wear many names. It only wears one name, His name. And when you have someone ask me, someone yesterday asked me, they said, well, Dennis, we don't understand. I'm going to say it. I don't understand why the Castleberry Church is called the Castleberry Church. Why is it called the Castleberry Church of Christ? I said, because they've removed the name Christ from it because that's prejudicial. Don't you know? And they said, no, they wouldn't. David Holder wouldn't do that. I said, it doesn't matter what David Holder does or doesn't do. It's what the people accept. Are you going to lay it off the feet of David Holder? Forget that. Forget any name I might say from this pulpit as far as it being all their fault, because it's not. Because the people accept these things and they go along with them and they let the changes happen because that's what they want. Because they don't understand the church of Jesus Christ. They don't understand the church is not a denomination. This is the church of the living God, friends. This is the place where you come because you love the Lord. Because you were baptized into Christ and this is where Christ's saints meet. And that's why they call themselves the church of Christ. Not because of the denominational name, and that's the reason. So he says, well, what's that got to do with 1 Corinthians 2? Everything, everything. Don't you hear it? And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, unless, of course, His name is prejudicial, and then we're not going to use His name anymore. How ridiculous do you think that sounds? Oh, it's totally ridiculous. Might as well turn over here. I forget the song, never hear in the books here. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. Excuse me? And somebody says, well, Dennis, you're just condemning, you're condemning good people if you talk about Castleberry. That's where I grew up, neighbor. That's where I grew up as a boy. That's where all of my loved ones are or were. That's where they are. And they don't talk with me anymore. Well, I can see why I wouldn't talk with you, Dennis. No, they don't talk with me anymore because they don't want to hear what I'm saying from the Scriptures. They want to hear the inspired Word of God. They want to hear somebody, other man, what he thinks and what he likes and what they want to hear. You need to listen to God's Word. And if the preacher isn't standing in the pulpit or wherever he's standing preaching, and if he's not using God's Word, then he needs to sit down because he's just preaching his opinions, friends. And that's what's happening in the church of our Lord today. That's what's happening in the brotherhood, if you didn't catch on. This is exactly what's happening. So he says, well, I just like to hear smooth words. I like to hear peace. I like to hear kindness. Well, so do I. But I can't hear those words if I mock or rather repeat the words of the devil. Because Satan is the one that sells that kind of garbage. And I'm not buying. How about you? I'm not going along with that. Satan is real. You know, is it interesting to you that in Jude, the third verse of Jude, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints? No. Contending means to fight, brethren. It means to fight. It doesn't mean lay down and surrender to the devil. It means to stand up and fight for the words of the Lord, the truth, the inspired Word of God. And that's what's falling by the wayside, my friends, in many churches. This is not Castleberry. There's many churches that's falling by the wayside. Call yourself conservative. Call yourself NI or non-institutional. Call yourself what you want to. I'm talking to our brethren. You say, well, why don't you get those people outside the church? Because they belong to the devil, that's why. And those supposedly that are in the body of Christ, they're supposed to belong to Christ. But how can you belong to Christ? How can you say you belong to Christ if you've not been added to His church by He Himself? If you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's why the gospel is changing. That's why people are changing it. It always hasn't changed, but they're changing what they're saying. They no longer offer invitations. They hold a whole gospel meeting, and one time there's a preacher that's, quote, preacher holding their gospel meeting, offer an invitation, one. People don't even know what to do to be saved. Their sermons could be preached in any church in town without an eyebrow raised or anything else like that. Because it's what the people want to hear. Neighbor, wake up and understand what the Bible teaches. Go to the Bible. Have you ever had a Bible study with somebody? And I had one time, and I started reading the Scriptures, and they reached over and they closed my Bible. Well, let's talk about the Bible. And I said, no, I'm not here to talk about the Bible. I'm here to talk Bible. No. They closed it again. I said, we're not having a Bible study if you're closing my Bible. Now, I have some things memorized in this Bible. Now, I guess that's impressive to some, but not that I had that much memorized. But the truth is, though, that's not the point. Listen to me carefully what I'm saying to you. Say, Dennis, don't you love people? That's why I say these things, because I do love them. I love their souls. I love, and not just I love to tell them, but they need to understand what the Bible teaches and not look to men and other things and other follow other things. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so. Let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. If any speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. And people are not doing that because this is the reason why. Look at Hebrews 5 and Hebrews the 5th chapter. We notice here, Hebrews the 5th chapter, if you will, please. I didn't get this fired up until my cousin yesterday at the wedding just besieged me and said, "What happened? What happened to Castleberry?" And I said, "What do you mean, what happened to Castleberry?" This is the questions I get. I get these questions. What happened to many churches of Christ? What's happening to them? They don't preach the inspired Word of God anymore. They don't tell people you need to read your Bible. They used to say that members of the Church of Christ were walking Bibles. Is that still true today? What is happening to us, brethren, that we have given up the Lord for what men think and what men like? And we want a positive mental attitude preacher. We don't want some preacher that preaches negative things, because that just doesn't draw people in. It doesn't fill the buildings. You're wrong about that. When I preached up there at one time long ago up in Millbridge, Maine, a congregation that I think they mistakenly asked me to come on the meeting because they had no idea what I was going to say. And when they did, well, they asked me back, actually, but I'm amazed. But the thing was, on the day they announced on the radio that I was going to preach on hell, one night of that week, that Thursday night, I believe it was. And I'm going to tell you something. They had to break out chairs for people to sit in. It filled that building so. You know why not? Because of Dennis. It's because nobody preaches on hell anymore. Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't pay. It doesn't draw people in. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ died so we might miss that terrible place. And yet that's not what's being preached. No, sir, it's not. And so in Hebrews the 5th chapter, here's what's happened. This is very typical of what the Apostle Paul was talking about. And I believe he wrote the 5th chapter. But in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, for though by this time, he says, and this is Hebrews 5 and verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that's not what the church wants today, because the brotherhood decided that they didn't want negative preaching, and they said we're going to mark and absolutely do away with, if we can, every preacher that would dare preach from God's Word and make applications. They don't want applications. They don't want to be told what to do. How many times have I heard children say, "Don't try to live my life." You know, and the thing was, I'm not trying to live anybody's life. I'm not even asking you to follow me, truthfully. Because if I make it, I'm preaching sermons to myself, brother, most of the time. Because I'm trying to learn what God wants, not what I want, not what you want, but what the Lord wants. And so it is that as we continue on with this, as some would say, a tirade, Christians need to be searching the Scriptures to learn these God-breathed words. But sadly, as we said a while ago, people are looking to talk about things outside the Bible. They're not talking about things inside the Bible. Remember, there's some books have been written, they're called issue-driven churches. I think that's what they call them, issue-driven church. You know, the church can become an issue-driven church. Did you know that? It's where a church where the members of the church learn only the issues and only learn the right answers to give the issues. They don't really know the Bible, but they do know the right answers to give so they can defeat the enemy or defeat the other side, as they call it. And this is not about sides. Did you know that? It sounds like I'm on a side, doesn't it? Well, I've got news for you. The only side I know is the Lord's side. And that's the only side you better be on. When it's all said and done, you best be on that side. There is no liberal and conservative. That doesn't even exist anymore. Now we have faithful or unfaithful. Just that simple. It's either sound or it's not sound. It's faithful or it's not faithful. That's the end of it. Yeah, but don't you make a little room for something? No, I don't make room for any of that because Jesus didn't. You're with me, you're against me. You gather, you scatter. That's what Jesus said. These are the words of Jesus. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why is it that way? What in the world? Well, but I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Well, okay. All right. You know, so talking about, I can hear as I read the Apostle Paul talk about his family and all the connections and how he's a Pharisee's Pharisee. And he says, but that's just, he counts as rubbish. Well, you know, my great-grandfather was a gospel preacher, a faithful gospel preacher. Faithful. My grandfather was. I hope that I'm a faithful gospel preacher, faithful to God's word anyway. That'd be the main thing. Because don't you see, that doesn't matter. I have worked with and studied with preachers who are young preachers who came out. They weren't raised, quote unquote, raised in the church. They loved the Lord. They loved his word. And they learned to preach the Bible, preach from the Bible. That's what we need, brethren. We need more Bible preachers. We don't need college-educated preachers. I have a degree, you know. I do, in fact. But, okay, so what? I mean, you know, I sin as anyone else sins. I need Jesus' blood like anybody else in this world. I need to obey the gospel. And when it was time, and I'm sad to tell you, I've said this before, I was 17 before I obeyed the gospel. But it's because I held all kinds of things against the Lord's church. Because I thought, as I grew up in the church, that the church belonged to me. And it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Christ, Jesus the Lord. That's who it belongs to. Well, what's that got to the inspiration of the scriptures? Well, as we said before, many people are not there when we talk about things outside of the Bible. I'm talking about from the Bible. Bible questions are, in fact, questions about the scriptures. That's what they are. Not what is outside the scriptures. Subjects about relationships versus lessons from God's word. How do you like that one? Let's have a long series of lessons about relationships. Let's have some sermons about friendship evangelism or friendship fellowship, which is what it's coming down to, because fellowship is based in friendship. It's not based in the word of God. It's based on who's your friend. And so I have my preacher brethren that I've talked with many times. They say, well, I know Homer Haley. I knew him. He was a good friend of my family, good friend. We loved Brother Haley. We loved him. So he says, Dennis, why do you talk about a man who's been dead many years? Why do you bring his name up? Because people still revere his name. That's number one. Number two, I knew him personally. How about that? I talked with him personally. I pleaded with him, begged with him not to preach or teach the things that he was holding to on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And he laughed. And he said, you know, Dennis, you're a young preacher, but one of these days when you grow older, you'll learn, you know, you'll come around. You'll come around. Because the finest minds of the brotherhood agree with me. You know what? The finest minds of the brotherhood agree with the devil. That's who they agree with. I agree with the scriptures. I don't look to the scriptures to agree with me. There's a difference. And the problem is that we're not looking to the scriptures, as I said before. Now, the thing about it is, Isaiah 30, verse 10, are you there? Look at Isaiah 30, the 30th chapter of Isaiah in the 10th verse. And brother, you passed the 30th chapter. That is amazing. It's amazing. Are you laughing? Okay, so Isaiah 30 and verse 10 simply says, who say to the seers, this is the people, the children of Israel, the children of God, do not see. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things and prophesy deceits. Don't tell us what we don't want to hear. Tell us what we hear. Well, we know Brother So-and-so, and he's well respected and he's accepted. And unlike you, who, that's okay. I'm thankful. Lord Jesus, on a very good note, Lord Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. They would do well to think about those words. Jesus said that himself. And why is it that brethren still are following brethren? Why are they doing that? Why are they following colleges? Why are they following papers, for instance? Why are they doing those things? Why aren't they following God's word? Why not God's word? Somebody says, well, you just think you can change the whole world. No, on the contrary, I know I can't. Because the world's going to hell in a handbasket, brethren. Have you heard that before? The point of it is that the world, those who love the world and things in it, and they're gone, they're the enemies of God. Did you not know that? James 4 and verse 4. Don't you understand these principles of these conditions? Don't you understand 1 John 2 and verse 15? Don't you understand what he's saying? In Jeremiah 23, verse 36, and the oracle of the Lord, he says, and this passage just blows my mind, which is, you were using that this morning. It blows my mind. Jeremiah 23, verse 36, and the oracle of the Lord, that's the inspired word of God, you shall mention no more. For every man's word will be his oracles, for you, oracle, for you have perverted the words of the living God and the Lord of hosts, our God. He said, every man, for every man's word will be his oracle. That reminds me of the first chapter of Judges in the Old Testament, where every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's what you find today. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield of those who put their trust in him. Psalm 119, with the 106th verse of the 119th Psalm, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. And 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, this is what Paul said, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Let me say this, young men, do not allow yourselves to be sucked into the trap of becoming a professional preacher. Don't do it. Don't think that members of the church just somehow convince you that you need to go to a college or a brotherhood college or whatever you want to call it to learn to preach. Because preachers learn to preach right here in this place, right out of this congregation, out of other congregations, where they are taught by the older members who live for the Lord and give them guidance and show them, and godly parents, if they're fortunate to have godly parents. That's where they rise up, brethren. They rise up from the churches. We don't have to build some massive Church of Christ college to have men who are faithful to the Word of God. This is what's taking place. We're looking in the wrong. For I did not come with you with excellence of speech or wisdom. Did you hear what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 2? But this is the thing. Behold, the positive mental attitude preachers who are taught never to preach or teach anything from the Bible that might be negative or offensive to others. Why is this happening? It's because many Christians, they want it to be so. It's as Jeremiah, if my brain... Talk going here. It's even as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 5 and verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so, but what will you do in the end? And that is the question. What will you do in the end? You know, again, the sermons that are being preached, my friends, and I don't believe at all. Steve's sermons could not be preached anywhere in town. They would be very upset with you, Steve. I know they would. But the thing about it is, though, is that people don't understand this principle that you should not be following the preacher. You should be following the Word. That is the problem, brethren. That is the problem. And someone says, well, we've heard all that before, blah, blah, blah. I said, let me tell you what, the blah, blah, blahs of this world, as some people think, that's what's taking the church down. That's what's destroying souls. That's why people don't want to read their Bible anymore. There are brethren who I certainly disagree. They disagree with me vehemently. I disagree with their interpretation of the Scriptures. But the thing is that they're not willing to sit down and study the Scriptures. Is this being recorded, brother, by the way? Oh, very good. Because you see, this is an open invitation. I have a Bible that's open. And if you can, if I'm doing something wrong, and certainly I must be doing something wrong, or they don't like me, would you please have enough guts and enough courage to come to me and talk with me with an open Bible? Don't use names. Don't talk about, use God's Word. Find out, tell me, show me, please. I'm serious about this because, you know, I find in my lifetime as having preached 42 years that those people who came to me with an open Bible to study, I thank them. No, but they disagree with it. Excellent. That's a great thing. People don't have the courage or conviction to come talk with me face to face, and they need to do that. And they're afraid, and they shouldn't be afraid of anything. If you follow Jesus, why would you pray? For as God is with us, who can be against us? Did you remember those verses that Paul, there in the Roman letter, that he made that clear? Someone says, well, yes, I know all that, but then it's all said and done, Dennis. We still love the same preachers, and we still have the same meetings with the same preachers, and we still do. And it all goes on just as it has always been. And that's what the devil hoped for. He was hoping that you would never make a change, that one soul would stand up and say, this isn't right, brethren, because there's no book, chapter, and verse for it. The very concept of it has passed from the Church of Christ. Book, chapter, and verse, brethren. That's not an invitation for a debate. That's an invitation to study the Scriptures. There's a great difference in that. You take these things, and I hope that you will. But When the Romans 14 error began to spread through the churches, it had already spread through the churches long before Dad Harrell ever wrote anything about it. You just don't understand that. I come from an age of the 70s. I remember very well how the Grace Fellowship Unity Movement, how it spread and how quickly it spread, and nobody stood against it. And the reason, there's some, Tom Roberts did, there are others that did, I could name them, that stood strong. But the thing about it is, though, is that whether they stood wrong or not, or whether they named their name or not, makes no difference. It's what the people did about it. It's what the people accepted or didn't accept. It's what they did. How did it get like this, so many people say? I said, because people would always make, you know, they would talk about liberal brethren, or they talk about our aunties and brethren that had never existed to begin with. You're either a Christian, are you listening, or you're not a Christian. You either live for Jesus or you don't. You either do what Jesus said in the church or you don't do it. Who does it belong to? Why in the world would you think that the Lord would tolerate in His church anything less than what He paid His blood for? And that's you, walking in the light as He's in the light. Friendship, fellowship, error, come as you are, stay as you are, go along to get along, and that doesn't negate mercy, nor does it cover up sin. The very idea that we're not going back to the Bible, my friend, is the problem. That's what I find to be true. Now let me repeat, as I offer an invitation to heaven's invitation, that you cannot join this church. Okay? Now, if you're a member of the Church of Christ, that is, if you've been baptized into Christ in accordance with the Scriptures, if you understood and repented of your sins because you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, if you've done that, you believe that in your heart, and you are ready to repent and turn your back on the world and the things in it and live that way no more, then come and serve Jesus. But you need to confess it with your mouth as the Son of God, that He is your Savior, that He is your Christ, that He is your King. And having done that, to obey your King by being immersed in water for the remission of sins, be raised to walk in newness of life. Because if you're not ready to do that, you're not ready to live a Christian life. If you're not ready to suffer, then you need not get wet, my friend, because following Jesus comes with a terrible cost. Your life. Your life. That's what it comes with. Have you heard words plainer than that? Don't think so. Couldn't get plainer. Don't you understand you've got to follow Jesus? I understand that. And more than that, having been baptized into Christ and raised to walk in the newness of life, do you understand you're to walk in the light as He's in the light? Christian friends, we don't always walk in the light as we ought to. Many times we get drawn away by the darkness. We fall into the darkness. We do things that are wrong. We sin. We sin against Christ for the things we do. And if that's the case, repent of those things. And repentance doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry. No, it means that you turn from what you're doing and you do it no more. That's what it means. You say, yeah, but I've done it many times. Well, then stop doing it. Somebody says, yeah, but they say, yeah, but I've just done it so many times. Well, get out of the habit. That's what you're talking about, neighbor. The brethren that these brethren that pray and they say, oh, Father, we sin often. We should not sin so often. We often sin. Oh, wait, don't sin so often. Stop. Stop. If you know what's right, well, I didn't know what was right. Well, you didn't know your Bible either, did you? And how the world will you know what was right or wrong if you didn't even know your Bible? Yeah, but that always hurt my feelings. Oh, well, now. Now, you want to go to the Church of Feelings, that's another matter. We'll go. That's a whole different matter, the Church of Feelings, don't you know? Where you worry about people's feelings. You know, one preacher that was going to preach at a quote-unquote Church of Christ long ago, they heard him preaching, and he was a little rough around the edges, so they sent him to the University of Texas, no less. They sent him there to learn sensitivity training. Oh, he became a powerful preacher. No, he became a whipped-down dog. That's what... And a dumb dog at that, because you see, he wasn't a watchdog, that's for sure. That's what I am. I'm a watchdog. And not because I'm so right, but because God's Word is right. And we need to stand up for the truth. Maybe that you're accept the invitation this morning. You don't obey the gospel, come. We certainly want to assist you in that matter. And as a Christian, if you need our prayers, we stand ready to pray with you and for you, that we might all be saved in the end. Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?